Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you abbreviate that, you can say, Jesus said, I am the truth.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, a message from one of our missionaries.
The idea of truth is something that I want to focus on, and I'm a high school teacher. So you're going to have to think of this as a high school class. You're my students, and I'm just a teacher, okay? If I think of myself as a preacher, I don't do so good. So this is just a class, just a class. And like I said, the prayer was really great because I want to focus on truth, and you're going like, what's that? And the thing that's in the news is everybody is reading about fake news, okay? And now my wife doesn't spend time in the news. I do. I know not everybody is involved in news, but if you're involved in that realm of things, the big thing now is with the internet and the big social media. They're dishing out their agenda. They're dishing out their dogma, their propaganda. And a lot of it is referred to as fake news. So I got Chicken Little up there for us. The acorn hits him on the head, and all of a sudden the sky is falling, right? And so we have fake news at its grandest. But then I have a political cartoon, and it's kind of hard to read the small print. I think it says something like, yeah, national debt is beginning to overshadow the presidency. It's been doing that for years, but it's really mindlessly moving on regardless of which party is in office. You know, we all understand that political cartoons, they're fake, but they're humorous to make a point, right? And the whole point for all of this is that there are different ways of getting across truth or untruth or my version of the truth. And here's the top fake news story of, I think this was 2017 maybe or whatever. Well, it had to be before 16. But at any rate, President Obama supposedly banned reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. He didn't. And that's just an out-and-out fabrication. It's a lie. You know, the Republicans want to say, yeah, he would do something like that. And Republicans are like, that's a good idea. But either way, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Everyone wants to believe the lie. And they have their own motivation for believing the lie. So one of the things that I'm going to do is present to you today is a questionnaire. And before I present this questionnaire, one of the things that I did was I went and I looked for, okay, if you teach journalism, the people, the newsmakers, what are you supposed to be telling people just in the general public? Not here in church, so I'm not, Pastor Dan, this you're not a journalist. You are a preacher, okay? But the journalists, I have a broader constraint. And if you look, it's a little hard to read. Anybody that wants this information, I'm more than happy to send you the whole presentation or just the links or my email. That's why I said, write down my email, ethicaljournalismnetwork, okay? Or you can Google. What I did was I Googled up principles of journalism, read them. If you know anything about news, you will be rolling on the floor laughing, because I was. It is these principles of journalism that are taught in our universities today are fine. There's nothing wrong with them. The problem is with our journalists, okay? And if they would do this, I would be interested in the news. When we moved, we left our TV behind. We haven't had a TV for 2 years. I could care less about that stuff. I won't get into it. Stay on topic. So check this out. I'm serious. Check this out and see what real journalism should look like. This would be fantastic. This is not what we're getting. So one of the things that I would do to my students is I would say, okay, so what is truth? You know, there's journalism and there's fake news, and now we're here in church, and our pastor, or in my case, your pastor for the moment, is supposed to be speaking the truth. Well, what is truth? Does anyone know what John 18:38 might be? Someone actually said that. They asked that question. Yes, sir?
Pilate,
yes. Pilate said, what is truth? Can anyone by any chance tell me where the answer is? I'll give you a hint. It comes before the question.
Jesus.
John 14:6. The winner, ding, 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 ding. Yes, John 14:6. And we're going to see that. Now, there's over 130 references to truth in the Bible. And I like John, so I took John as my example. In John 1:14, the Son comes from the Father and is full of grace and truth. I'm like, well, how does that fit to the journalism definition? What do we do with that? 4:23, you have to worship God in spirit and in truth. How do I worship God in truth? Like, what does that mean? So maybe I should go to journalism class so I can figure out my Bible class. And then God is a spirit, and you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. And I went like, okay, when you see a repetition in the Bible, my students know that this is an emphasis. They didn't have highlighters, and they didn't have bold, and they didn't have all this, but they can repeat something. Pay attention when you see a repetition. We have to worship God in spirit and in truth. And as Scott said, the answer to our question is that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you abbreviate that, you can say, Jesus said, I am the truth. Okay, now I'm focusing on the truth part. So yes, he's the way. But we're focusing on the truth part. I am the truth. Whoa, wait. My Bible has truth in it, right? Or the pastor speaks the truth, right? Why does Jesus say, can you imagine? I am Greg, and I am the truth. Right? That's what they did. That was how phenomenal, well, how stunningly arrogant that was when they first heard this. I am the truth. And what I take from this is that truth is based on the character of God, the unchanging, flawless, God is love, God is just, character of God. That is the rock bottom foundation for truth. That's where the journalists get their five rules or five principles of journalism. That's where I get the authority to even come before you this morning and try and talk about truth, the character of God, and it's Jesus Christ. It's his life, his teaching, and his character. Well, one of the things that I did was this survey is coming up, okay? And what I want you to do, since we're in church, we're all friends, we all love one another, right? This is the church, right? So look to your left, look to your right, or if you just want to like eyeball to the right and left, you don't want them to know that you're looking, or if you're afraid to kind of look around and see who's behind you, but you need to know who's next. Do you know what your fellow church member believes? Are they evangelical? In a basic, overall, general sense, do they? Now, I had to leave my Bible in Guatemala because we're traveling light. This is my Bible. They have several of them, actually. Do you believe the basic, fundamental truths of the Bible? And there are plenty of people that claim to be Christian, and they claim to believe and do all kinds of things, as we'll see. I question their Christianity. I've read the Bible numerous times. And I wonder if some of these people that are answering these evangelical questions are Christians. But wait, I ask this of my honor society, the best of the best. So let's just see how they might have answered. So I'm going to introduce you to this questionnaire, okay? I don't want you to analyze it. You can get the link. It's thestateoftheology.org. Okay? Thestateoftheology.org. Go there, check it out. They give you verses to back up their answers or what they feel the answers should be. It gives you all the numbers. Actually, I have the numbers up there, but They're in code. I really encourage you to do that. But for this, in fact, I don't even like these PowerPoints for preaching because they're a distraction. But I really need this for in this particular case. So one of the things when you go to this survey is you're going to find I've done this a half a dozen times, and it took me four times to get all my data correct. SOT, state of theology, those are the answers. To the left is strongly disagree. In the middle is not unsure, and then it's agree to the right, strongly agree all the way to the right. So you can just see condensing and convenience sake, I just left it in code. But the first grouping of questions I noticed were about God, okay? And I would call this God the Father. And the big thing that I got four questions done in a 50-minute Sunday school 3 weeks ago now. And there was another teacher was ending his class the following week. They insisted that we finish these, okay, the next week. They insisted. It's like, you can't leave us on number four. There's 34 of them, okay? We don't have time to go through them all. And when I got to number four, we just halted on that one, okay, big time. Because in colleges today, you can select, the question is, God created male and female. Yes or no? Now check out it took me a little while to do the analysis part of this, but once I kind of got settled down and was looking at this, in addition to groupings, kind of by a category, you'll notice that there's also groupings of answers. 23% believe that God did not create male and female, or were unsure. 10% are like, I don't know, like, okay, you're a guy, you're a gal, what else, you know, come on. Now, it's true, a preponderance, what is this, 70, I'm doing all this in my head, 77% agree that God did create male and female. But we all know that this whole gender thing is exploding. On Facebook, there are over 50 genders. Facebook, England, Facebook Britain, there's over 70. This has been enshrined in law in the state of New York. You can be fined for not using the appropriate pronoun, okay? And this is one of these things where our students, on their forms, when they fill out for college, have to designate what their gender is. If the program that our school uses to do grading and attendance, they can turn on the gender switch. Like, thank God they have not. Oh, my word. This is becoming a reality of life, and it's becoming enshrined in law. What is the truth? Are we making the exception the truth? Or do we want to live by the truth and deal with exceptions? So we spent a lot of time on this one. So, Ligonier asked about 3,000 people. Initially, I said that this survey was done across the internet. It wasn't. Every 2 years, they ask participants to take this survey. And 3,000 people, I'm assuming 3,000 evangelicals took this survey. Now, keep that in mind, okay? We're asking for evangelical answers. And now we go to the Holy Spirit. There's the Father or God. Now we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a force, like, you know, Star Wars. He's a force. The midichlorians were just ginormous within Jesus, okay? The Spirit is a force, but is not a personal being. You've got to be good. To me, all of these questions are strongly against or strongly for, one or the other. No questions. And yet, look at the numbers across the board. He's a force. What is that? 30, 59%, almost 60% of the evangelicals see the Holy Spirit as a force. As a force. This force that has personality. Read through your Bible and look for the personal attributes of the Holy Spirit and tell me he's a force. Tell me he's no different than electricity. Okay? And what I'm trying to do is give you a way of analyzing these answers. Okay? Because you go, yeah, most everybody's all right at it. No. Be careful. Because evangelicals disagree with evangelicals. And it seems like that's beginning to shift more and more what I would call the wrong way. I'm prejudiced, sorry, but I guess it's part of being a Bible teacher. Everyone sins a little, but most people are basically good by nature, right? Isn't that right? Good by, now note, the key word here is nature. What is the nature of man? Okay. Now, if I look at Linda here, I can tell that, Linda, you're a nice person, right? And I like Linda. We correspond. We, you know, even though we've been gone for 14 years, we're still corresponding occasionally, okay? We're nice people. We like to communicate. Is that what we're talking about? No. We're talking about the nature of man. You should come to Sunday school. Oh, Bible study, same thing. You're going to find out what our nature really is and what our need really is, especially when you're looking at the long-term eternal picture. These kinds of things, like even the smallest sin, deserves eternal damnation. Now, I fixed that this morning. My grammar problem, again, we get to make mistakes occasionally, but even the smallest sin deserves eternal damnation. And look at that. 50, 69%, over two-thirds strongly or disagree that the smallest sin is enough to deserve eternal damnation. And my question is, who is your God? How holy is your God? How perfect, how pure, how eternal is your God? Think of it like a chain. You have links, and you're dangling 100 feet over a cliff. There's no way up, and it's only down. Unless somebody pulls you up, Jesus. But unless somebody pulls you up, how many links does it take to break before you're gone? You're just a puddle of mush 1,000 feet below. Just one. That's all it takes. Okay? If you think of it in those terms, I can give you some other illustrations and analogies, but that's the closest one. Of course, again, you can check out the website, look at their verses to see how they're going to answer this. I recommend that you start doing some study. I recommend that my students read a chapter of the Bible every day. That's something students can do. And then study the Bible on weekends. Spend a little extra time studying. Take one of these and study it, okay? And see what the Scripture says. Not what you think it says. What does the Scripture say? Now here's the Bible. We have the Father, the Son, the Spirit. Now we're going to the Bible. Did you know that the Bible, like all sacred writings, contains helpful accounts of ancient myths, but is not literally true? And you have to look at the next question. The Bible is 100% accurate in all that it teaches. It will not teach you about quantum physics, okay? It will not tell you how to drive a car or even how a combustion engine works. That's not what it does. In what it teaches, the Bible is true in what it teaches. And yet, look at these answers. The Bible is a sacred writing. It's about even. Strongly disagree, strongly agree. I don't get that. And so what I'm beginning to do is think, now, this was the Ligonier Ministry survey, but I'll give you a hint. Let's see, is it in the next one? Did I? No. I gave this to my Honor Society students. Now, I actually created a Google form, put everything in that Google form, and said, you guys got to take, I made it a homework assignment. and they had to take this quiz, but you would think Christian church all their life, Christian school all their life, Bible class all their life, and you would think they would nail this, right? The Bible is not a myth. The Bible is God's revelation of himself, and it is true. Bam-o! Everybody agrees. Wrong. I was like, I've been there 14 years. What have I been teaching? What did I do wrong? And think about this now. You're a young family and you have children. Do you know what they're learning in Sunday school? Do you know what they're picking up? What about your family members? I put down a prayer request in the thing. We're going to go see the whole family, not just Anna and Tony, but our two sons are going to be there, all the grandkids, and I am concerned about the salvation of my two sons. And Carrie is willing to debate the Bible all day long. He loves to argue philosophy. Argue philosophy, that's right. He's about as saved as a rock. And so my prayer is to go with him with the truth. But the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of a person, not a man. Dad is right. You got to do what I say and believe what I say because I'm your dad. Doesn't work that way. Of course, he's an adult now. I can tell him to go jump in the lake. But I want to present him with the truth. The truth is a person. And so I'll say a little something about that toward the end. We're getting toward the end. Morality, sex outside traditional marriage, is a sin. It is a sin. 41% disagree. Evangelicals disagree. You can have sex outside of marriage. You can sin against your own body, for which there is no sacrifice, and claim to be an evangelical. And good night. Look at that. 8% don't even know what the answer to that question is. Like, what Sunday school did you go to? Sorry. I had too much coffee. Sorry. Kirsten, really good coffee, but messed me up for the sermon. So you'll notice I'm trying to help you understand how to analyze this. Okay? And you need to look at all the questions. You're thinking of exceptions. And I really wanted this slide way back when we said, did God make man male and female? Because that's where we kind of bogged down. But wait a minute! There are people with three sex chromosomes, and they're kind of an it. They're a thing. They're not male. They're not female. Yeah, that's right. Like less than 1% of the population? Do we really want to live according to less than 1% of the population? Or do we want to live in principle as well as we can as normal people according to the truth? Is there sin in the world? Are there problems in the world? Are there exceptions in the world? Yeah. But let's figure out how to live our lives, normal lives. And then once we figure that out, let's deal with the exceptions. Then you can argue all you want about how to deal with the exceptions. That's why God gave us judges. They deal with the difficult cases. Do we all want to be judges? How are you going to train your kids? What are you going to teach them? Well, we've got all these exceptions. Let's start going through all the exceptions. There's loads of them, by the way. Okay. We don't teach our kids that way. Stay out of the street. Well, you don't talk about, you know, the difference between a bus hitting you and a bicycle hitting you. You just say, stay out of the street, right? And that's really what I'm trying to do here is to talk about what is the truth. Because we can know the truth and we can live according to the truth. If we have to deal with exceptions, God has given us mercy and grace to deal with those. But this is not the place for that. Salvation, it's very important for me personally to encourage non-Christians to trust Jesus as their Savior, even if they're family members, even if they're work associates. And I was sitting with my son-in-law and daughter's neighbors last night, and I'm just looking for an opportunity to talk to this guy about Christ. Now, they know about Christians. They're nice people, okay? And the opportunity didn't come. I don't force myself on anyone, but I do look for those opportunities, and I do want to share Christ with these people desperately. But you can turn someone off by doing that. those are some of the sophistications you get involved in with evangelism. Again, you know, you look at the thing for these last couple of questions, you'll notice for the uncertain part, I don't know, I'm unsure. They're all zeros. It's either you agree or you disagree. Should you? Well, you know, 20, 30, 48%, it's almost 50-50. Strongly or disagree that you should personally encourage non-Christians to trust Christ. And yet, the last command that Jesus gave before he ascended into heaven was what? What? Not go out, you're close, you're close?
I go out and preach the gospel.
Okay, make disciples. The command, sorry, do you know Greek? Yeah.
No.
You're forgiven. That's why we have preachers, okay? The real command is make disciples. Boom, he's gone. But he said, make disciples by going, by teaching, and by baptizing. Now, if that's the command of Jesus himself and he started Christianity, you think we ought to tell non-believers or get to know them and be friends with them so they can ask us, why do we live this way? I think the answer is yes. Okay. And there's some more salvation. What's the point of my message? Well, one of the things that I don't want you to do is malign the church. For many years, you know, I went to Guatemala and I said, oh, I can't stand America. The church there is, it's everywhere but one inch deep. Oh, America, the church is horrible. And God had to slap me upside the head and say, Greg, my church exists and my church is going to grow and thrive. And when I went to China last summer, and the church there, oh my goodness, that would be another sermon. But the church is alive and growing and living despite aggressive, active government hostility. Okay? And even though we have a materialistic, narcissistic, we love to stomp on America from the pulpit. But you know something? God's church prevails. God's church prevails. Jesus is alive, and he's in his people, and his people are spreading his kingdom. And don't forget that for a minute. So don't use this survey to say, oh, I know all the answers. I got all the, you know, strongly agrees or strongly disagrees. I nailed them. Yeah. Don't do that. Okay? You're setting yourself up for a fall. And you might assume wrongly that your family or your church neighbors, remember, you look to the right, look to the left. You might assume that they agree exactly the way you do. Strongly agree, strongly disagree. Well, you might be surprised. I would use this as an opportunity. I was reminded with my family, when our kids were growing up, we would sing a hymn after dinner, or I would bring up some theological issue that I was working on. Papa, we want to go out. Are we done yet? Talk to your kids. You can use this as kind of like a catechism, or you could actually get a catechism and go through that, okay? But use this as an opportunity to discuss the truth, okay? One of the things I'm suggesting, you could go in your Bible study as kind of a get warm sort of thing. Well, we have an opener question, and we want to know and pick one of those things and see who agrees, disagrees. You could have them write it down, okay? Sunday school, you could have someone like me. I gave one out in my Sunday school. I had to actually type the whole thing up. If anybody wants the questions, so you could use it as a checkoff sheet, I can send that to you right away. I have to recreate the form. But I think you will be surprised if you take this survey, just 34 questions, just as it's given, strongly disagree, unsure, agree, strongly agree, have them mark it off, have someone tally it up. Whoever tallies it up, you need to go over it about 3 or 4 times, because I kept finding mistakes like, no, I did it wrong. But then give the results to the class, and I think you're going to find like, what? Maybe you read the question wrong. There is a trick question in there, one, okay? Maybe you read the question wrong. Right? You sure? You don't know? Your own Sunday school. Right here in Wonder Lake Bible Church. It happened in my honor society. Top of the top Christians in a Christian school, coming from Christian homes, going to Christian churches. But most of all, I recommend you read your Bible. Doesn't matter if you take the quiz. No big deal. But if you're not reading your Bible, you're not going to know the truth. You're not going to know what the answers to these questions are. And the more you read your Bible, the more you get involved in this process, this more sure, the more confident you become in your own faith, the more mature you can become in your walk, and the wiser you can become in dealing with all the problems that life can throw your way. Well, what is the state of theology? I would say that we could do much better. And notice, I'm simply recommending that we do much better, not that we are so much better. Big difference. Big difference. And I've given you Bible believing in general as it exists in America, as we call this evangelicalism. I've suggested answers that would correlate to evangelicalism in America today, but only you can say what evangelicalism is personally and specifically. May God give us the opportunity to grow and mature in these things as we read our Bibles. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to study your word, or to at least look at how your word looks in the world today and in the United States. And there's no bad answers, but there are bad responses. And so I pray areas where we see that we need to do some study, to do some looking, some questioning. I pray that we might talk to others who know the word, that we might study for ourselves and be attentive to the ministry of the Spirit to teach us. And Lord, I pray, I long for the day when we can see you as you are and be with you in joy and enjoying the full grace of your mercy. And I thank you for these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.